The politician gets voted in, and he or she sees that they have a powerful position. They can wield power. The terrorist thinks, I will do something, blow up something, or shoot someone, or whatever the case might be. The Christian, however, says, I will do something more powerful than all of that. I will show kindness. Kindness is incredibly powerful, isn't it? Even as you're watching the news or whatever it might be, you get like the news half an hour, maybe 20 minutes of the news is seeing the world at its worst. And then so often, as there is in these news bulletins, right at the end of the news, they'll have just one little story, a human interest story, which will just so amazingly, this little story of kindness, how someone has done something kind for someone else, it just overpowers all the rest. A world of violence is overcome by just one act of kindness. We are, as Stephen said, in the midst of this series of talks on the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, and we've done love, and we've done joy, and we've done peace, and last week we did patience, and this week we're going to think about kindness. But one of the things we need to keep remembering is that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's first and foremost describing the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. And if it's describing the Spirit, it's describing the Son. So it's the character of Christ, these things of love, joy, peace and the like. It's describing God the Father himself from all eternity. He is perfect love and perfect joy and perfect peace and perfect kindness and perfect joy, the whole lot. It's describing who God is. But the most amazing thing that we are doing as we go through this fruit of the Spirit is we're not only seeing what God is like, but we're seeing what God is doing in us. That same joy, love, joy, peace, etc., he is working in you and me. So it's absolutely critical for us to understand what God has done for us. That is, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, he freely offers us forgiveness and life. And that offer is taken up by faith, by believing. You trust, you believe what he says, and he says, I'll give it to you. Just believe. And what we found in Galatians chapter 5 as we've been thinking about it over these last weeks is that the one word, actually here's a test, here's to see whether I've actually said anything that's gone out. If there is one word that Galatians will say describes the Christian person, what is that word? Free. Freedom. Free. And that one word Jesus adds a word to, he says, you are free indeed. He said, this is an amazing freedom that you have. It's not the freedom that the world thinks it wants. That is the freedom to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. But this is the freedom that we finally have to be the people who God made us to be. That is a wonderful, exhilarating freedom that only you who are in Christ can know. Freedom. And it's not just for us individually. It is for us as a people, us as a church. We become a people of the fruit of the Spirit. We become a people of freedom. And we become a people of freedom and the fruit of the Spirit because we are a people who have been made in the image of God, who is all of those things. Now, we talked a little bit last week. You can have, you know how you can have speed dating? Have you heard of speed dating? Don't tell me if you've been to it, but just, you know, you have your date five or so. I don't actually know how it works, but speed dating, you can have instant downloads, you can have instant coffee, you can have fast food, you can have your coffee warmed up in the microwave really quick. But you can't do speed gardening, can you? Gardening takes time. Gardening takes effort, and it takes days, and it takes watering, and it takes sunshine, and it takes all of those processes that need to happen. Well, God is a gardener, and he's not a speed gardener. And he's gardening in you, and he's bringing forth in you the fruit of the Spirit. But, gee, it takes a long time, doesn't it? And suppose what I'd like to do today is just, if we're going to consider kindness as the fruit, as the fruit that he is working in us, the way that we're going to understand kindness is to actually look at how God has shown kindness, and then we'll be able to see what sort of kindness, the kind of kindness that he is working in us. And you don't have to look very far, do you, to see the kindness of God? Do you have to look very far at all? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7 says this: the incomparable riches of God's grace to us are expressed in his kindness in Christ Jesus. Where do we see his kindness? Where do we see his grace expressed? It's expressed in Jesus Christ. And what about Titus chapter 3? It says this: when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Did you hear that? When the kindness of God our Saviour appeared. Kindness appeared. When Jesus appeared. Kindness is a person. That person is God the Son. And his ultimate act of kindness is the cross. So the cross of Jesus Christ is the kindest thing that anyone has ever done for anyone else in the whole of history. There is the kindest thing ever, is the cross. And that's why we talk about it. That's why we love it. That's why we find all our resources from it. That's why we sing about it. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 63 says this: because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods, with singing lips. Last week we talked about patience, and Travis told us how patience is that long suffering. That is, instead of leaping in with anger when someone wrongs us, we actually make a conscious decision to pause and give space so that there is the opportunity for peace and reconciliation. But do you see, when you add kindness to patience, we have this wonderful combination. Because what happens is this, you see, God isn't just patient, he's kind, which means he doesn't just sit back and wait for you to change, but he's patient, and in his kindness he moves towards you and does everything and creates all the environment necessary to enable you to repent and believe. He does it all. Do you see that? He's not just standing back, but in patience, but he moves forward in kindness. God's kindness is patience plus pursuit. So let me say, he has moved toward you. Do you know his kindness? Do you know it? I keep hearing people say this. I might get into a conversation with them about, you know, the future and do they feel or do they know a sense that God, that they will be right with God when they face him, like we all will. And too often I get this reply.
Well, I hope so. I hope he says yes to me.
Well, friend, those are words of unbelief. So believe. He has made a promise. Trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and you are justified. You have, right now, by faith, that free justification. He is telling you, you're right with him. You don't say, well, I hope, because just to say, well, I hope so, it's like to saying, well, I hope God's telling the truth. I mean, what a stupid thing to say. Of course he's telling the truth. And I know that it's not, you know, you're saying, but I know how bad I am. I know what I think. I know what I do. I know what I say. I know how bad you are too. Some of you are rotten. But that's not the basis upon which we are judged. It's not our works. It's God's work in Christ. And when he makes a promise, and when someone says to you, are you right with God? You can say yes, not because you're arrogant or you think you're so good, but because you know God has done it and you know he's so good. But the thing that we're talking about now is not only, yes, I know God's kindness, but get this, this is just unbelievable, which is the wrong word to use in church, but anyway. That kindness that he has shown to you, he then plants in you so that you can show to others. Oh, you get to be exactly like God to other people. And that Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is also powerfully working in you to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And the one we're talking about is kindness. But it's a God kind of kindness. We have this type of kindness. We have a kind of kindness that is an agreed kindness. It's a worldly kindness. It's not real kindness. It's more transactional. I'm kind to you if you are kind to me. Or if I'm kind to you and you haven't been kind to me, you better be kind to me soon. That's called a transaction. I give you something, you better give me something back. I will treat you according to the way you treat me. That is not kindness. That is not the way God treated you, is it? He gave, when we were at our very worst, he gave us his very best. And says, now, children, you be like me and do the same. Imagine that you're on welcoming at church. And you're standing out there, it's windy, it's cold, but you actually decide to stand out there in the wind and the cold because you know people will be getting out of their cars, and what you want them to see when they get out of their car and they look towards those doors is a welcoming face, a hearty welcome, an outstretched arm. And you're standing out there, you're actually suffering, it's cold, but you want to be there to serve others. And the person gets out of their car and they're coming towards you and you get your smile ready. And you've got their little, whatever it's called, a bulletin to give to them. And they don't in any way reciprocate your kindness. They've got a grumpy looking face on. They just walk in, they grab it, they walk right past you. What do? Maybe put your foot out. And, well, I don't know. Pull your face when they've gone, you know, all that stuff we do. You see, when you pull a face in anger, you actually look like an animal. You actually dehumanize yourself, and you become like, you know, when someone's winds down the window of the car and they shout something at you, oh, you're so-and-so, whatever you are. Did you see? Do you have a look at their faces? They look like a bulldog. And there is this blurred line between a transactional relationship, this transactional type of kindness, if I can say that, which can sometimes flow over to become manipulation. So that I actually am planning to do something kind to you so that you particularly respond to me in a way that I think you ought to, although I'm not telling you how you ought to respond, and if you don't respond that way, I'm going to be really angry at you. Suddenly it's become manipulation. And yet we call it kindness. How we are able to twist things to our own ends. Too often when relationships, walls come up, don't they? All sorts of different walls for all sorts of different reasons. It can happen at home and at work and at school and just in the street, wherever it might be. Walls come up. Someone doesn't respond to us in the way we think they ought to, and this wall comes up. And when walls go up, we almost add to the wall. And we allow that, whatever it might be, that bitterness or anger or injustice or incensed about this, whatever it is, and we put another layer of bricks on the wall. But what kindness does is just smashes a hole through the wall and says, nah, Jesus is my Lord. I do what he says, not what you say. You won't control me by your actions or your words, and I will respond to you in loving kindness. Travis mentioned last week that one of the areas that we are prone to do this is in social media, isn't it? So, you know, you see a harsh comment said to you or about someone else, and so you think, well, I'm going to send them a harsh comment. You know, send them, you know, exclamation marks, like you mentioned. We're prone to that, aren't we? If we feel like doing that. And I found a passage in the Bible where Jesus actually talks about it. He actually talks about social media. It's amazing. He knew about it all that way ago. He said that you ought to tweet others the way you want to be tweeted. So, I could go now, thank you. But do you see how important that is? Even just thinking about social media, how would I want someone to respond to me? And I will do that to others. If you don't know what Twitter is, I'm very sorry. Keith will tell you later. Oh, I can't tell you that. And sometimes we treat God in the same way. We think we can manipulate God. We say things like, God, I have been to church every week of my life, and yet now I'm sick. What's the story? Well, you owe me. I've been kind to you. You ought to be kind to me. What crazy talk is that? And yet we can slip into it pretty quickly, can't we? We get angry at God for not keeping promises that he never made. But the God kind of kindness is sacrificial, self-giving and free, and expects nothing in return. And what we need to keep seeing again from Galatians is that we have been freed, but the freedom we have been given is a freedom to fight to be who God has made us to be. Because before we couldn't fight. Galatians will say how the flesh opposes what the Spirit opposes. That's the Holy Spirit. And when you come to Christ and you have faith, the wonderful gift that he gives you is the Spirit, and now the fight begins. So if you're struggling with sin and you think that that's some evidence that you're not a Christian, nah, that's evidence that you are a Christian as that fight is going on. You are free to fight. And when and kindness, therefore, God kind of kindness, is contrary to the flesh, and so it will be a battle to express. And you and I ought to expect that battle. The decision to have God kind of kindness is something we intentionally choose. And let me promise you this. You are going to need to make this intentional choice to kindness because it is impossible to live in community and not be hurt or rejected. Can I say that again? Make sure that sinks in because we need to hear it. It is impossible to live in community and not be hurt or rejected, even this community here. So think about it. Is hurt or rejected and they decide to leave the church, just think about what is happening. They are actually choosing the flesh rather than the Spirit. They're actually choosing to go with the flesh, saying, no, don't be kind. You don't deserve to be treated like that. You've been treated like that. Flee. But the Holy Spirit is actually saying, no, love, kindness. And isn't that the very hardest time to show kindness? Is when you're in the midst of rejection by people who simply shouldn't have done it. That's just hard. We ought not think that's easy in any way. But in some sense, that clash with that other person becomes God's gift to you because it becomes an opportunity for you to keep in step with the Spirit. It becomes an opportunity for you to show kindness, God kind of kindness, to ignore the flesh and choose the Spirit. That's why Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Clothe yourself in kindness. Would you come to church naked? Why do some of you come to church naked? I mean, you might be wearing clothes, but why is it that kindness seems to be the furthest thing away? Now, I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about people from the other congregations. The 8 o'clockers. Oh, there's an 8 o'clocker here. Don't tell them. It's all right. I said the same thing about you to them. but you see, don't walk around naked. Clothe yourself with kindness, compassion and the like. And I hope I get this across because I was excited about this when I thought about this week. Kindness is part of the clothing of the new self, which we are being renewed in the image of our Creator. And so understand this. What's distinct about humankind compared to all the other creatures of the planet is that we uniquely are made in the image of God. And to be in the image of God is to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit is actually also the fruit of true humanity because it's the description of Jesus, the true man. So when somebody experiences kindness, when you experience kindness, you actually say, there's something very, very right about that. Something very human about that, and maybe to say even something very divine about that experience of kindness. This is what you were made to be, and you are only free to be it in Christ, so be it, and serve one another in love. And all this is for the glory of God and the mission of God. And so do you just see, when you start to live, when you ask God to bring forth in you the fruit of the Spirit, and we begin to live that both with one another and in the world, you blow people's minds. You keep smashing through walls of bitterness, and you keep being able to not be moved by their opposition to you, whatever it might be, but God's goodness for you. It's incredible. You become bright, shining lights in this world. You become somebody who says, look, there's a human, a real human, because there's a whole bunch of animals growling at each other, the whole bulldog thing again. But when we see someone who's actually genuinely kind, a spirit-empowered kindness to somebody else, there's humanity. There is God somehow in that. And one of the things we've been really wrestling with as a church is, you know, we have playtime and music time and youth group and Rock Solid Weekly, and we've got a whole lot of bunch of families, wonderful families from the community who come and connect with us, and we love them to come and connect with us, but always saying, Lord, how can we connect them with Jesus? So they're not just connected to Monday or Friday or whatever else it might be, but connected with Sunday. And I'm thinking, oh, we've got to build bridges. How can we build bridges? How can we build bridges? And then I realised, my goodness, we're already started. There's a whole bunch of you who give up your time and you simply be kind. And for playtime, for example, set stuff up and look after people's kids and just begin to build this bridge of kindness for Jesus to walk across into their lives. Paul says this, he says, practice hospitality, and he talks that about kindness. Now, we have redefined hospitality to inviting your friends over for lunch so that they will invite you over to lunch. And the circle goes around. It's sort of a bit transactional again, isn't it? But when hospitality, the word in the Greek is philoxenos, which is love of stranger. And then this is kindness, is the love of a stranger, not only who might not repay you, but who can't repay you. But it's pursue, and that word pursue comes from the word to persecute. You think, well, how do those go together? He's saying, Pursue the love of the stranger. Execute this. Make it happen. Kill them with kindness, in a way. This is what hospitality is. Well, can I finish by saying that if you have not been challenged, as we have been going through these fruit of the Spirit so far, then I can only gather you're deaf. That's all I can gather, because I've been challenged with it. Travis speaks about patience, and suddenly this week, what do I notice? My impatience. It just becomes gleamingly obvious. And what will happen this week? Will I see where I'm not being kind? Well, see it, and then ask God, help me to change that. Grow, do what you're doing in me, God, because that's what I want you to do. Because that's who I want to be, because it's about mission and glory. And when people see God in you, they'll be ready to listen to your words about Jesus. and they'll come to Christ. And it'll all be for the glory of God. And we'll say a deep and hearty amen as we look forward to that new creation, which will be 100% kindness when sin is finally dealt with. That will be a great day, that new creation. But you are a new creation now, so live that day today. Let me pray. Holy Father, thank you for being the great gardener, and thank you for sowing into us the very seeds of your own Spirit. And so, Father, help us and bring forth in us the fruit of the Spirit, that we may live as disciples of Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.